Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 68 tonight. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, as I was talking with Paul Kuh not too long ago, yesterday and today, we were discussing Psalm 68, and every time I've taught it, I say the same thing. It is the hardest psalm to teach. That's why I'm going to have Raul come up here tonight, and I'm going to take a break. I'm just teasing Raul. Psalm 68 has been called a titan, a very hard psalm to master. I remember, I think the last time I taught Psalm 68 was in 2005. And I looked at my old notes and I wrote on there, I said, Psalm 68 is like the long version of Hey Jude. In other words, you remember Hey Jude, nah, and it just keeps going and going, and you still don't understand what Hey Jude is and who or anything else, okay? So this is a psalm that, it's a great psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm to be sung. But the fact of the matter is there's no historical content, and there's 15 different interpreters, or 15 million, I would say. But here's what I believe that this psalm is all about tonight. It is a song that is to be sung whenever the removal of the Ark of the Covenant during the wilderness wanderings. Psalm 68, as we will find out in a moment, is also a messianic psalm. But let's go ahead and begin tonight. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song, verse 1. It says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. So let God arise. That means, if it's the wilderness wandering, it means that the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the presence of the living God, is now getting ready to launch out, okay? And so let's read it again. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate them flee from before him. Do you hear the voice of Moses in this anywhere? Remember, whenever the cloud moved back in the old covenant, and the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, when it moved, Israel moved, right? Okay, when the cloud stopped, Israel stopped. And so the moment that the cloud started moving, man, the trumpet would sound, and the trumpet meant, okay, it's time to break camp. The cloud that is over the tabernacle, it is moving, and it's time for all of us to march, all 2 million or more of them. And Moses would say this from Numbers 10:35. It says, whenever the ark was set out, Moses said this, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. Well, that's verse 1, amen? And then it says, when the ark rested, Moses would say, O Lord, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Now, if we come up to the new covenant, the ark of the covenant represents whom? Jesus Christ. He is our mercy seat. Remember the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant? He's the propitiation, or the mercy seat for our sins. He poured his blood out upon it. And so when we look at this, it's a picture of us today following the presence of the Lord, or Jesus leading us in triumph through this wilderness of this world that we live in. Amen? And we should be crying out tonight. When we come into this place on a Wednesday night, we can be as free as the Holy Spirit wants us to be free. Amen? We should shout to the Lord. We should cry out to the Lord. We can get on our knees. We can bow before him. Man, because we're the family of God tonight. We need to be excited about what God is doing, because God is always doing something. And whenever he does something, it is always good. It is always perfect. Amen? And I look and I say, oh God, thank you so much. We're in the middle of a relaunch. Isn't that great? And we are preparing to launch out again, and that means all hands on deck. Are you listening at home? All hands on deck. We're preparing to advance as we follow the Holy Spirit of God. And once again, now that we've been in our homes and out of the church and so forth, it's time for us again to displace the darkness that has moved into our territory. Do you understand? It's time for us to go back to work. Did you know that every time, every child that we affect in our local work, and our global work. Every time that they have a life change, darkness is displaced. Every time that we go to Mexico and build a home or work at the orphanage or love those kids, you know what? Their heart is open and light comes in and darkness is displaced. Every time we see someone come to Christ at Calvary Chapel, you know what happens? They are born from above. They're no longer walking in darkness. They're walking in light. Amen? It's time for us to start moving. It says, let God arise. Boy, that's a word. And let his enemies be scattered. And let those who hate him flee before him. What a great word for us tonight. Oh, Father, show us your awesome power in this place called Calvary Chapel. Amen. What a great word. Listen, let God arise in our hearts. And you know how we do that? We love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Amen. And our neighbor as ourself. You know what? The children of Israel, they didn't move until God moved. And you know what? We never move unless God tells us to move. Amen. That's why we're in the middle of relaunch. And you know what? When God says to move, you move with him. Why? Because that's how you stay safe. That's how you stay in the will of God. Don't move unless he moves. Does that make sense? Boy, we need that tonight. Why? Because God needs to lead the way. How come? We don't know the way. Did the children of Israel, did they know the way? No, they wandered in circles for 40 years. Only God was the one protecting them all that time. Their shoes didn't even wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Think about that. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing today? Oh, listen. No, it says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away, David says. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish. Where? Or at the presence of God. Remember, the ark represents the presence of God. But let the righteous be what? Let the righteous be glad. Let the righteous, let them rejoice before God. Let the righteous, yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. What a great way to start your morning, your evening, or your bedtime. Amen? In other words, you are rejoicing. You are having exceedingly rejoicing. The righteous, that means you're in right standing with God. Oh, tonight, you know, God who made him to be sin, who knew no sin. Amen? So we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord for that, loved one. Our sins are gone. They're paid for. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to go to the throne of grace. We are invited to celebrate the Lord's table, and he is here. What an honor and privilege that is. Now, watch this one. Verse 4. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Extol means enthusiastic praise. It says, by his name, Yah, that's the abbreviated worship, remember, of Yahweh, and rejoice before him. You know, do you ever think of God as the rider on the clouds? Well, isn't that a cool thinking? You know, when you think about our God, it says he walks on the wings of the wind, you know, and all the wonderful descriptions of our Lord. And sometimes people think, well, that's where God is. He's way over there in the clouds. He's so far away, he can't help us. But David says, that's not true. It says, rejoice before him. And that means that God was there and God is here and he's here right now. Amen? And why would we rejoice like that? Look at the next verse. It says, because God protects his people. Look at it, verse 5. A father of the fatherless. Now, father means protector and defender, it's a relationship. It says, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. Isn't it wonderful to know that if you belong to the Lord, there's no such thing as an orphan with God? We've been adopted, amen? We're partakers of his divine nature. But what I really love about this scripture, look at it again. It says, a father of the fatherless. Every time, let me back up. You know what that means? It means that this church, because of our global work in Mexico, we share the Father's heart. Remember? Look what it says. He's a father of the fatherless. We share with exactly what God wants to be done. And there we are every time we go to Mexico, or the funds that we send to support the kids and so forth. Listen, the Bible tells us, remember the foundational verse of Love Never Fails International, Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what he has given. What a great scripture and what a great promise by God. So, but he not only takes care of the orphans and the widows. Look at verse 6. God sets the solitary, meaning those that are all by themselves, those that are lonely. Where does he set them? In families. He brings out those who are bound. That word literally means, by the way, a prisoner, like the prisoners when the Jews were prisoners in Egypt under Pharaoh. He brings out those who are bound in prosperity. Man, that's a great word. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In other words, they hang out in the desert, guys. They're parched. We are the most important family on earth. We're the church of the living God. Amen? Think about that for a moment. If you are well and you're out there, you're listening live right now. If you are, you're going to listen later on. Listen, if you are well, if you are healthy, if you are able, don't be lonely anymore. It's time to come home, Calvary Chapel. It's time to come home. Can we say amen to that right now? Amen. It's time to come home. We love you. We miss you. And we're preparing to relaunch. We need all the hands on deck that we can get. Verse 7, oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah. Man, there God is leading his people. And again, we know the reason why. They don't know the way. And we don't know the way through the wilderness of this world. Man, we need to be led by the Spirit every day of our lives. Without Jesus, it's a dark world, loved one. What did Jesus tell us in John 18? No, not 18:12. In John, what is it? 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows after me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that's what we need. And not only that, as we follow our Lord, where is our Lord right now? Remember in Hebrews, what is it? In Hebrews 6:19, that we have this presence behind the veil. We have this forerunner. His name is Jesus. He's ascended all the way to heaven, and he's done it for us. Amen. He is our forerunner. The word means he has advanced or paved the way all the way. And now he's preparing a home for you and preparing a home for me. In a few minutes, we're going to go to the Holy of Holies when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Remember what happens there in Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. That's what we're going to do. Boldness, that means confidence. And it tells us how. By the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart tonight, it says, in full assurance of faith. Verse 7, O God, when you went out before your people, when you, meaning God, when God marched through the wilderness, and then Selah, pause, think about that for a moment. So what happened when God marched through the wilderness with the children of Israel? It says, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. And Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Did you see that? It says the earth shook, the heavens dropped rain. Listen, this is more than it just rained in the desert, which was a very rare thing. It says that rain dropped, which means rain poured. It means that the bottom fell out. It meant, you ever heard that expression? It's raining cats and dogs. What does that mean? Who came up with that? I hope it wasn't a Texan. It's probably somebody from Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, raining cats and dogs. Or how about this one? It's raining so much, it's a frog strangler. It's a Texas gully washer. You know, I used to hear that when I was a little boy with my grandparents. But we don't talk like that today, do we? No. But it's interesting. Never mind. Verse 9. You, O God, you sent plentiful rain whereby you established or confirmed your inheritance, meaning the people of God. When it was weary, your congregation dwelt in it. In other words, God God refreshes his people. He's refreshing us tonight. The word of God refreshes people. Amen? Yes. It says, oh, your congregation dwelt in it. You, oh God, provided from your goodness for the poor. That was the manna from heaven, the quail and water from the rock and so forth. And the Lord gave the word. Now, that's speaking a command, not speaking of God giving revelation, okay? So the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Now, this is an area that makes this psalm so difficult. If you don't know Hebrew and don't study out Hebrew, then you can say, well, I don't, what does this really mean? Well, those who proclaimed it, if in Hebrew, it translates to a feminine participle, okay? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, but I do study it out. I may not know how to pronounce it, but I know how to study it. Amen? Now, so evidently, those who proclaimed it were women. Very interesting passage. And meaning that they probably ran from tent to tent to wake up the men that a battle was approaching, that there was war that was coming. It could have been Miriam. Remember how Miriam, you know, in what was it, I think Exodus 15 or whatnot, in 14 and 15, with the tremble and the tambourine and the song of her, you know, she was Moses' sister. Now, look at verse 12. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she... there's again feminine, who remains at home, that means the women, divide the plunder, or they divide the spoil from the victories. And though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. Men, you should use that as a line on your wife, okay? Now, so this must speak of, it has to speak of peace. Amen? The dove is a symbol of peace. It's also a symbol of, it's a sacrificial bird. The dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit, remember, that fell upon our Lord and so forth. So, but it has to be this safety, a pastoral scene where everybody is safe and the women are safe and the victory's been won. And when the Almighty, now, watch that, not Israel, but Almighty God, scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. Now, I don't really know what that means, and neither does anybody else. However, there are those that believe that David used that to describe the bones of the kings who died in this battle that had taken place. I don't know. It says, a mountain of God is in the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountains of Bashan. So that's the Hermon mountain range. Now, watch this one. Why do you fume with envy? Talking about mountains here. Why do you fume, or why do you stare with envy? You mountains of many peaks, this is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. So they're jealous. You follow what I'm saying? The mountains were envious because God is going to dwell forever in Jerusalem. And the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. And the Lord is among them in Sinai as in the holy place. Now watch verse 18. Here we come now, and this is why we know it's a messianic psalm. It says, you have ascended upon high. You've led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Now, Paul, doesn't he quote that in Ephesians chapter 4? Yes, he does. So, but here, this is saying that the Lord, man, the Lord God, he conquered Egypt. And then God led captivity. In other words, he led the children of Israel out of captivity, out of bondage, into the promised land. And he did so by the hand of Moses. Remember when the children of Israel, when they left Pharaoh and Egypt and out of bondage, and then they literally spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, they took their treasures of silver and gold and jewels and all the rest of it. So they didn't leave empty-handed, loved one. However, when Paul quotes this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, that means it's a messianic psalm. Let me read Ephesians. It says, but to each one of us, Paul writes, meaning to every Christian, grace, God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It says, every Christian, each one of us, grace was given, and listen to how much grace was given to you and me, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every believer, you that are still home. Now, listen, I want you to know something, that you guys that are still home, I love you. I'm not picking on you, but I want those that are able, I'm praying for you to come back. It's time to relaunch. It's time to, we've got to fight through the darkness again. Amen? Yeah, we're not going to give in. We're the church of the living God. But every one of us, we have been given a gift from Jesus. It's a supernatural gift. Every Christian has at least one gift, okay? If not, you're not a Christian, okay? And we need to use what God has given unto us. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't get it at Bible college. You didn't get it at seminary. It is a gift, an unearned, undeserved, unmerited gift, which comes from the grace of God, and it operates in the exact measure of grace that God has given unto you. And each one of us, it operates differently. Now listen, when we, the church, in this relaunch, when we walk in the measure of God's grace, each one of us, we start relaunching again and going out. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be a great adventure, loved one. So we need all gifts on board. He goes, therefore, Ephesians 4:8, therefore, it says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he, meaning Jesus, might fill all things. Listen, Jesus is the supreme head of the entire universe. And he is the supreme head of the church. Jesus, our Lord, who is with us tonight, his table we're about to participate in, have fellowship in. Listen, loved one, he has all authority in heaven and upon earth. Amen. So here, it says in Colossians 2:15 about leading captivity captive, it says that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle, or led them in a public parade, exposed them, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. So that's a messianic section, if you will, verse 18. Look at verse 19. Blessed is the Lord, or blessed be the Lord, who daily does something. Look at it. What does he do? He loads us with benefits. Did you notice it didn't say he loads the super saints? Us. It means there's God has no favorites. He loads us all with benefits. The God of our salvation, see law again. Listen, the Lord's benefits are never few. They're always loads. Amen? This should read, blessed be the Lord who day by day bears our burdens and carries us. Let me read another version, the New Living Translation. For each day God carries us in his arms. I like that one, don't you? See, you may be going, whatever you think you're going through, you don't think you're going to make it. Well, listen, you are going to make it. You say, Bill, I'm just stumbling. I'm crawling. I'm not making any headway. Yes, you are, because God is carrying you every day of your life. Think about that. Believe that right now tonight. Believe it. You have to, because the enemy is trying to just smash our brains out, guys. He's trying to steal the word of God, the promises of God from us. No, man, every day he carries us. He bears our burdens. Are you allowing God to bear your burdens? Listen, he can handle it. I can't handle it. Amen? First Peter 5:7, casting all of your care. That word means all of your anxieties, all of your problems, all of your burdens, whatever is ripping your heart, your life apart. It says casting all of your care upon him. Why? For he, meaning God, he cares for you. Out of all the religions in all the world, loved one, only Christianity, no one else, only Christianity teaches that God, our Father, cares for his children. Man, listen, God doesn't mind you dumping all of your anxiety, all of your care, all of your burden upon him. Because, see, he can do something about it. Do you understand? Because he loves you. Verse 20, and our God is the God of salvation, and to God, the Lord belongs, escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemy. So I'm going to be reading along with this, the New Living Translation, okay? It says, but God will smash, not wound, but smash the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on his trespasses. In other words, those who love stepping over the boundaries of God, they love their guilty ways. Instead, the Lord said, I'll bring back from Bashan. I'll bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot, meaning the people of God, your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. Or as the New Living Translation says, and even your dogs will get their share. So, the Word of God. So it says, from Bashan, which is the farthest region, and to the depths of the sea, God says, I'm going to tell you what, my victory is going to be complete. And they have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary, or literally into the tabernacle there, the Holy of Holies. So this is like a victory procession, if you will. The Kohathites are carrying the Ark of the Covenant through the wilderness. Now they arrive at the tabernacle, and look what happens. I love this. And then the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. It's like a big party. It's like a victory parade. Can you see that in your mind? The Kohathites are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're coming out of the wilderness there, and there's a tabernacle. It's all set up. They're going to go take it in the Ark into the Holy of Holies. But before it does that, note the worship that takes place. It says, first, that you have the singers that are before the Ark. And there's the Ark, and there's the singers out in front. You know, we should do something like that. Amen? Yeah, it says, and then the musicians, they were behind the Ark. But all around the Ark and all around the singers and the worshipers, look, it says maidens playing timbrels, or that means tambourines. What a party. Bless God in the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader. Now, that's speaking now. Little Benjamin is, remember, the smallest of the tribes, that in Judah, whatnot, the southern kingdom, all right? He says, there's little Judah, their leader. The princes of Judah and their company, again, the southern kingdom. The princes of Zebulun, and princes of Naphtali, that's the northern kingdom, okay? Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Now, the reason this psalm is so hard to outline is because it skips all over the place. So now David, he's going to close this great song, and he's taking a prophetic look now into the future. Look at verse 29, It says, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will, not yet, but kings will in the future, bring presents to you. Rebuke the beast of the reeds, the herd of the bulls with the calves of the people. How long? Here comes future again. Till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come, future tense, envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will, not yet, but will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. Is that happening now? No, that's not happening now. It's not going to, all the kingdoms of the earth singing unto the Lord. When is that going to happen? At the second coming, amen, at the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ, when Christ rules upon this earth. And to him who rides on the heavens of heavens, which were of old, and meaning the ancient heavens, indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. He says, ascribe strength to God, or literally, tell everyone about God's power. His excellence is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel, watch this now. He who gives what? He who gives strength and power to whom? To his people. Blessed be God. Loved one, listen to me. We are in the midst of a war. And Satan right now is tempting the believer more than ever before to draw strength from this world. He wants the church to live off substitutes of strength, but not God's strength. Do you understand? Oh, listen, it is God who gives true strength. It is God who gives true power to his people. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power which works where? In us. God's power works in us right now. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be strong. In whom? In the Lord. And in the power of his might. Later on in Philippians, when we finally get to the last chapter on the Sunday services, we'll find it says in Philippians 4:13, for we can do all things. Or Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The emphasis should be on Christ who strengthens me, not on I can. Amen? We can do all that's needed. We are not a powerless people, and we're not a pathetic people. We are the church of the living God. And tonight, we are going to celebrate communion together because, yes, as David said indeed, blessed be our God. Amen. How we love him tonight. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, is there anyone who does not have a cup? It should be underneath your, if you weren't given one when you came in, would you just hold your hand up if that's you? Anyone at all? It should be the cup, meaning just there back there. You can see them better than I can, guys. Okay, if you would get the cup to them. Let me read from Corinthians as I always do tonight as we prepare. And let me turn there. Are your hearts, are you ready? Amen. Paul writes, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night of which he was betrayed, he took bread. So, you know, was Paul, did you notice that Paul the Apostle was not in John the 13th chapter when Jesus was in the upper room when they shared the Lord's Supper and so forth? Did you notice that Paul the Apostle wasn't there? Yeah. Matter of fact, so what happened? Jesus had to give Paul a personal revelation of the communion that we're about to celebrate. He says, I received from the Lord, which I'm delivered to you, that personal revelation. Now, he says, that when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Or literally, it would read, do not forget me when I have gone away from you. Boy, what a great word. You know, guys, go ahead and start passing out the bread. There you go. I'm sorry. I'm not paying any attention to anybody, but so forgive me. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the koinonia, the act of fellowship, the koinonia of the blood of Christ, we remember his death, and the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship or the communion of the body of Christ? We're getting ready in just a few minutes. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table with the unseen Lord. Do you understand? This is his table. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of them. He is here with us right this very minute. So we're commanded to do something. We look back. We look back at the death of our Lord. We look back at all that he has done and accomplished for you and for me. He says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, meaning his death. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, we know that this is the blood that represents the new covenant, loved one. We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And we know that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, how thankful I am tonight for this table. Listen, it says in Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of bull and goats, but with his own blood. Jesus, when he ascended, what did he do? He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We are eternally redeemed. Listen, You hold that cup tonight or that little saucer. You know, we're trying to just make everyone safe. You know, when you hold that in your hand tonight, I want you to remember something. That for thousands of years, lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb was sacrificed for the atonement of sins. Amen? Right now, the cup that you hold is the final cup. There's no more sacrifices for sin. His sin is sufficient for all people for all time who have trusted in him. Amen? Oh, and I say, oh God, you are so good. Our sin debt is paid. Our sins tonight, loved one, if you are in Christ Jesus, our sins, there are as far as the east is from the west. Our forgiveness tonight before God, our Father, is so complete that he, by his own judicial reasoning, no longer remembers our sins. The Bible is so perfect and so clear. It says in Romans 8:1, therefore now those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ Jesus, therefore there is no more condemnation. Well, no more judgment. Jesus paid our sin debt, past, present, and future. Amen? Oh, we need to remember that as we celebrate tonight. Man, we're justified. I love that word. Remember justification, what it means? If justification is imputation. It means to take what belongs to another person and transfer it over into your account. And he takes what you have and transfers it into his account. Jesus took all of our sin and then gave us into our account, imputed to us, his perfect sinless record. We stand before God tonight. We're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. But in God's eyes, our position, we are perfect. We're as if we have never sinned because Jesus never sinned. It's as if we had never broken the law, the Ten Commandments, anything. Why? Because Jesus did not break the law. He kept the law perfectly. Amen? And we are in Christ Jesus tonight. It says, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we look back, and now we look ahead. Loved one, this table is temporary. It's not always going. We're not going to always have that. Jesus is coming, and he may come tonight. And we're families of God tonight. Praise God for that. So I look at this, and I say, Lord, come quickly. And it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. In other words, without proper reverence for this table, which means it can be done. It says we'll be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord, meaning the cup and the bread belong to Christ, okay? It says, let every man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, meaning without self-examination, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now listen to me. That cannot mean eternal judgment because therefore now there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It means corrective judgment, okay? Very important. A lot of people are terrified to participate in the Lord's Supper because, you know, I'm not discerning the body correctly. No. Why were the Corinthians not discerning the body of the Lord correctly? If you go back and study it, were they getting drunk at the Lord's Supper? That's what was wrong. Are we getting drunk? This side doesn't know. No. Loved one, listen. No, we always look within. You see, we look back at what Jesus has done. We look ahead knowing that Jesus may come tonight, the rapture. But then we look within. You know, there's a great need today for self-examination. We look within our hearts. The stuff that's out there on the internet and people squabbling and complaining and griping and accusing and all the... Man, stay away from that. Stay away from it. Don't, if you want to read a book, read the good book. Amen? If you want to read about other people, read your Bible. You need to know more about them than you do anybody out there, believe me. You know, you need to look into your heart. Do you have a relationship that's all messed up? Forgive them. Well, they won't forgive me. Okay, well, you've done what's right. Forgive them. You know, are you hiding your sin? Don't hide your sin. You won't prosper. But if you will tell the Lord, say, Lord, I'm in trouble. You know, then he says, okay, I want to help you. Do you understand? God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Oh, you guys are bad. They did. You had, I knew it was right there. Didn't you? That's an embarrassment. Stephanie, don't say that. She'll write that in her Facebook. I can tell her right now. Praise the Lord. I thought they were saying I wasn't worthy tonight or something. But we are worthy. We're the family of God. You guys at home, lift up the bread, all of us. This is the bread of life. Amen? Jesus' body was broken on the cross for you and for me. He took every blow that he took was meant for you and for me. All the punishment, the wrath of God, everything he did was for you and for me. So, Father, we love you. And what we do right now, we're so thankful for you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I know you're here as we participate in your table. Lord, we partake now of the bread of life. And we give you thanks for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, as a family of God, let us partake. Our Lord is the Lamb of God. Amen? And I'm so thankful that he died for the sins of the world and he died for our sins tonight. The cup that you hold, like I said earlier, this is the last cup. There's no more sacrifices for sins. How wonderful to know that we've put our faith in our Savior. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin and will always do that. So, Father, tonight we look back again. We see the cross. We see the blood. And we give you praise. We give you thanks, O Lord, that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And what we do now as your family, we do in remembrance of our Savior. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the cup. Father, as we close our service tonight, we give you praise. We love you, O Lord. We pray again for this nation. We pray, O God, that your spirit and your wisdom would literally flood into the hearts of the Senate, the House, the White House, everything, Lord, that our government, our people, this nation becomes godly again. Oh, Lord, bring revival. Oh, use us, Lord. We humble ourselves. Use us right now. Let this church be used to bring revival to this city, to this county, to this state. Lord, we give you praise tonight. And Lord, I am so thankful for your people. Bless them, Father. Keep them safe on the way home. Let them slumber. Let it be perfect. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we all say, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we?